was reading a book on leadership not long ago, and there's a California businessman that says, there are two things that are difficult for most people to do. That is to think and to do the things in order of their importance. Example that would be, as Allison and I, we're trying to build a home on this 13 acres we have. And as we try to build this home, we're trying to prioritize the things that we do first. And like one of the days, we had this guy we had lined up to come cut our driveway in with the bulldozer. And he come, we set it apart this day, and the guy comes out, and he cuts the driveway in, he puts the gravel down, and then we come up the next day, and we go to flag out where we're going to put our septic system, and the only place in the whole property where it would work would be right where the driveway was. And as we just going further, you know, as we went through, you know, there's little places on the property, I said, well, you know, this would be just a great little place. I'm going to clean this up and really work on this area, and then come to find out, 26 triaxial loads of dirt have to sit in that spot that I just cleaned up and spent all this time working on. Or you're seeding straw and you find out the elevation of this whole area has got raised up a foot, you know. Just thinking about things and prioritizing and figuring out what's important is hard for us to do. It really is. In fact, you know, only your greatest businessmen, your greatest leaders seem to be able to do things like that, to get away and actually look at things and prioritize them and do the things in which they find the most important. As I look back on my life, and if you would look back on your life, is there a time where you put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into something? Like my driveway, for instance. You did something, and when you got done doing it, you realized that it really was for naught. It was a waste of time and kind of effort that you built something that was going to just have to tear down or move. It's a sad prospect, isn't it? It's a sad prospect to put a lot of energy and a lot of emotion and a lot of focus into something and then to find out that it was all for naught. And I got this deathbed mentality. I do. I read a book, and if somebody knows what I'm talking about, tell me later, because I cannot remember what I read, and I was younger when I read it. But at the end of it, this guy had this philosophy that whenever he had any decision in life, any important decision, he placed it in his head like he was laying on his deathbed, and he was looking back on his life and whether he would regret it or be thankful that he made the decision that was before him. And so I try to do that. I do. I try to live my life like every decision that comes my way, any big crucial decision, I try to place myself on my deathbed and I look back over my life and I say, was that something I should have done? Was that worth my efforts? Would I regret this however many years from now or maybe tomorrow? Not guaranteed tomorrow, but you know what I'm saying. I think the Bible gives us much direction where to set our priorities. We got to make eternal things priority. When you look, there's people get into television shows. I mean, I know series right now going on, their seventh series, and people follow those things and they make time for those things every week, and they fill their brains up full of lots of stuff that has to do with the trivia and whatnot of those television shows. I got a brother-in-law, and he'd be mad at me if he was listening to this. But I'm not criticizing, but he is a walking sports statistician. He knows everything that's happened in sports. I don't know how far back he goes, but you can ask him anything, and he can tell you any answer that comes to do with sports. Puts a lot of energy. I mean, it's a ESPN guy. He makes sure ESPN is on, and he watches that religiously, and he doesn't miss his ESPN. He goes to bed by it, wakes up by it. That's what he does. Money. We like to put lots of away money for 401k, for retirement, and for savings and different things. You know, there's a joke they say that man carried his stash of gold to heaven. Peter met him at the gate and said, "What'd you bring asphalt for?" You know, that's what our streets are going to be paved with up there. But all these things I just talked about, all those are things that will pass away. they matter nothing. You understand that they're like what I'm talking about. They're things that you put energy into and thought into, and they give you nothing. They're empty. They're vain. Jesus says some things like, what does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his own soul? Or like, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Paul writes about set our mind on heavenly things and not earthly things. So you and I can set our goals and we can make our energy and our efforts here on earth to make sure that we get our names recorded in a history book or scribed in some type of memorial or a statue. Or be in the Guinness Book or World Records. But if your name is not in the book of life, what have you missed? I want us to look at Luke 4:42. And in this passage, what I see is someone who's got clear priorities and knows exactly what he needs to do. Jesus right here, what I read here is Jesus making the relationship with his Father number one priority. It says in Luke 4:42, it says, "And when it was day, he departed and went to a desert place." Jesus went out of the way of the crowds to be alone. We don't think of Jesus as someone who needs some me time, do we? And that's what we do whenever we get bogged down with life's troubles and we get overcome by work and kids and just all the troubles. We need some me time, some relaxation time. Well, Jesus, that isn't what Jesus is doing. Jesus is spending time with His Father. And you can, this isn't the only time Jesus does this. You can read about Him going to a desert on a mountain and in the wilderness. He wasn't selfish. He wasn't tired of people. But I'm going to say something to you. You're going to ask me if I'm crazy, but people wasn't Jesus' number one priority. You say, it had to be his number one priority. Jesus came to save people, save mankind. He did. But in order to do that, Jesus had to empty himself and he had to be one with his Father. He had to spend time with his Father. Jesus' priority was his relationship with his Father. Without that relationship, he could do nothing. You read passages like John 5:30. It says, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." When you and I are tired, we want to get some sleep. We want to rest. When you and I are looking for direction, we look to other things. But when Jesus had this, with the same things that you and I, well, He says, "I need to pray. I need to spend time with my Father." That's what you and I need to do. An example, if you'll flip forward to Luke 6. Just flip forward a couple chapters there. Luke 6:12. And we're going to be going right back in just a second. Listen to this. In Luke 6:12. "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. And of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." Jesus had a big decision coming up. He's going to pick the apostles. Jesus spends all night in prayer before that happens. Just think about it. If Jesus, who is God, manifest in the flesh, needs to spend time with his Father, how much more do you and I need to spend time with our Father? So much more. I think every relationship starts with communication, good communication. I think about Allison. She'll say, "Honey, will you do this?" I'll nod my head and I'll say, "Okay." Good communication so far. Then a couple hours later when it's not done, and she says, "What are you doing?" "I don't know. I don't remember you saying anything." That's bad communication. But the way we communicate with God is through prayer. We pray to communicate with God. And how does God communicate to us? Through His Word. to His Word. So if we want to be effective communicators with God, we're going to have to spend a lot of time in His Word. You hear me? If we're going to hear from God, and we're going to prioritize things like Jesus does, we're going to have to spend a lot of time in His Word. Something I find interesting is that Jesus not only spent a lot of time praying to God about what priorities. Jesus spent time, I just look at this pattern in John 17:1. I'll read to you. You don't have to flip there. If you don't want to, you can if you want to. But in John 17:1, it says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes into heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that the Son also may glorify Thee. And as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that I may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. And now, Father, glorify Thou Me, Thy own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." Jesus begins His prayer with Himself. Does it sound selfish to start a prayer and talking about yourself? It's so important to know that before we can effectively be intercessors for anyone else, you and I have to have a right relationship with God. You understand? If we want to be fervent prayer warriors for people that we know, if we want to be effective with God, then you and I have to maintain and keep a right relationship with God. And I love the pattern of this because Jesus starts with Himself. He starts praying with Himself, and then before He goes, He talks about His disciples. And later on in that same prayer, He starts praying for you and me. He starts praying for the people that will come, that will follow in the faith. That's a really cool thing. And I heard a guy talk about one time that he prays in bullseyes. That he puts Himself in the center of the bullseye, and then as you go on the outer rings become your friends, and then your family, and then the world, and those things. But you start at home. You start right here. You make sure that this relationship is good, and that you're praying to God about your purpose before you start praying about someone else's. Now, I want to ask you tonight, are you making God your number one priority? Where is He at on your list? I'm not trying to kick. Y'all don't pull the mouthpieces out. I'm done kicking from this morning. I'm not trying to damage anybody or anything like that. I'm just asking, where does God lay on your list? Does He come after your television shows? Does He come after you've done everything else, only when you're not too tired? How far down the list does he fall? You can tell how much priority you give to something by how much time you give it. So if like kids are priority, you'll end up spending a whole lot of time with them. If work's a priority, you'll end up spending a lot of time at work. There's a survey that I printed off, and I just wanted to show this to you. It says the estimate of how a typical lifespan of 70 years is spent of a spiritual person. It's supposed to be a Christian survey. Sleep, 23 years. Work, 16 years. TV, 8 years of your life. Eating, 6 years of your life. Travel, 6 years. Leisure, 4.5 years. Illness, 4 years. You'll spend 2 years of your life dressing. Things of God, 0.5 years. Now, that equals a total of 70 years. Can you believe that most people prioritize television? That comes after sleeping and eating? After sleeping and eating, TV is at the top of that list. Like I said, we're investing our time in things that will come to naught. They mean nothing. They'll look like such a waste of time when we're standing in eternity. We wish we cried more. We wish we prayed more. We wish we spent more time with loved ones. We wish we would have helped more. But never, never will cross our mind that we would have caught another series. Or we wish we would have scrolled a little longer on the Facebook, whatever that is, wall. Those aren't things that we'll look back in eternity and say we wish we could have kept caught up on. I don't want anybody to overdose and make a bunch of adjustments too fast, but I want to challenge you today that if you're not spending a lot of time, that if maybe you could log your cell phone, the time that you spend scrolling through your cell phone or watching TV, you could log that and just get a real perspective. You could cut that back and spend some time in the Word of God. Like I said, I don't want you to overdose and kill yourself, come to church too much or something, and end up having to go to the hospital. But if you could just regulate, just start small. Add a little bit more. Because I guarantee you, it doesn't matter who's sitting in here. Every one of us could stand to spend more and more time. There's none of us to say, oh, I'm topped out, preacher. I'm maxed out. I don't know if me and God can spend any more time together. I'm bursting at the seams. But what I see here, Jesus spends this time with God. He goes away to this deserted place, and He prays, and all of a sudden His priorities get crystal clear. Let's look. It says, and when this day they departed and went to a desert place. I'm sorry, I'm back in 442. Let me get you back with me. And the people saw Him and came unto Him and stayed Him that He should not depart from them. And they said unto Him, and He said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for therefore I am sent. And He preached in the synagogues of Galilee. You see this healing. Jesus was healing people. Jesus was healing, and there was a lot of multitudes coming around Jesus, because who wouldn't want to be around a healer? Who in here doesn't have some type of sickness or some infirmity they'd like to be healed from? I'm curious if Jesus could heal being overweight. I don't know if He could or not. I don't know what that would have been like. Just touch me and my clothes fall off. I don't know. But who in here doesn't have something they wouldn't want Jesus to heal them from? He had crowds lined up. Jesus was healing them. He had this real popular ministry. And He got caught up in doing those things. And he gets away from the crowds, gets away from the people and the wants of the people. And He prays to the Father, what do You want me to do? And this is what He comes up with. I must preach the kingdom of God. I'm a preacher. I got to go preach. Huh? Listen, you can get caught up doing a lot of things that are good. Jesus was doing a good thing. I'm not saying anything about that what He was doing was wrong or anything. Jesus did what He was supposed to do. But I'm saying you and I can get caught up doing things that sound good, that look good. But if they're not your purpose, if it's not what God designed you to do, then we're missing the boat. You have something actually specifically that you're supposed to do. Maybe you're fooling around maybe you're feeding homeless, but that's not where you're supposed to be. Maybe your niche is down over there teaching kids on the Sunday school room. Maybe it's not there. Maybe it's up here, preaching behind this pulpit or preaching behind some other pulpit. Maybe it has nothing to do with the ministry. Maybe it's just being a light where you work or whatever. Maybe you're sitting there and you're investing all your time and it sounds like a good thing and everyone around you, so you're doing a good job, you're doing a good work. But aren't you praying and prioritizing what God has put on you to do? Are you clear, crystal clear, like Jesus stands up one day and says, my healing ministry is over here, I'm going to go preach. In Acts 6:2-4, the apostles, they understood their purpose very much. See, the apostles, in Acts it talks about the apostles meeting and praying every day together. Greg, every day. Constantly. You start to wonder, why did the first church have so much power? Well, because they were apostles, dummy. No. They were, but there was more to it than that. They were praying every day, meeting every day, exhorting each other, one another every day. Set aside the miracles. Set aside the wonders of God. When they preached, it was powerful. It was life-changing. People had to make decisions. The Holy Spirit would convict these people, and they would make decisions that could bring them persecution, could bring them death. And they were making that decision just wholeheartedly because the preaching was so powerful, because these men had such a close relationship with God. So close that one day when the widows and whatnot started, the affairs of the church started to become kind of burdensome. They said, you know, why should we leave the preaching to go wait on tables? And they got deacons. They knew exactly what they were there to do. They were there to preach. There was no question in their mind what they had to do. I had this this story I read one time about a lighthouse keeper. And he had so much oil that he was given. And this oil was supposed to keep this lighthouse lit for a whole month, Jack. And what happened was people started to come by little and say, I got this woman come by and she says, you know, I've ran out of oil and I don't have enough light to see her and make supper for my kids. And this lighthouse keeper, he's a generous, good-hearted person. And he would give them a little bit of oil so she could get through her time. And another guy came and he needed some oil for some other reason. And he would give him, he said, you know, these are good causes, these are good reasons, I should do this. And he gave each one of these people this oil. And then, towards the end of the month, about 6 days shy of the month ending, he ran out of oil and the light went out. Boats crashed, people died. Government official said, you were given one job, and one job only. Everything else was secondary. All these other things that you were doing, those were secondary. You had one job only. You see, when I think of that, I think about our days are like that oil. We've only got so many hours, so many days, so many opportunities to serve God. And you and I can dish out our time on things that mean nothing or things that are secondary. But you and I have a specific purpose. And the only way we're going to know that purpose and make sure we're spending our oil wisely, our hours, is putting God number one priority. Prayer number one priority. You'd stand. I know it's difficult. We're a group of people that have kids and jobs, and we have duties that we have that are outside of this church. And it's so easy for those things to take precedence over other things. And I don't think any of us ever mean. I don't think we ever intentionally say, God, I'm going to put you at the end of this list. But when we're not intentional, when we fail to plan, we plan to fail, right? So I want to ask you, not in this invitation, if you haven't been putting God number one, if your priorities have left where they should have been, and you're not clear what your purpose is, this invitation is for you tonight. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, tonight is my prayer that you know Him. Let's bow our heads. Father, in this busy world, with all the things going on, the hustle and bustle, it'd be good for us to take note of what your Son did and to retreat and go off by ourselves and spend time with you. Father, help us to see places in our life where we can save off of things that mean nothing. The vain pursuits that we have, the things that we spend all our time and our energy and our sweat and our worry. Father, help us to give those things to you and spend time with you. Father, each one of us here We know that you've made us for a specific purpose. That there's a job for each and every one of us here. Father, as we seek you, reveal those things to us. And help us to be better servants. Help us to be a light. Help us to be what we need to be in this body of Christ. Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, I pray that they come to know you before it's too late. Have your will and way in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.